Our scripture today comes from the 17th chapter of Luke, verses 11 through 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going to a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Sorry, I have to get hooked up. Good morning. As many of you know, let me get rid of all this stuff. As many of you know, when I'm up here, I always like to start with a little story. And I found a story that I thought fit pretty good. There was a 4-year-old boy. He was pretty smart. And he was really good about saying please and thank you. And his parents were so impressed with that there was a holiday meal where all sorts of people were invited. And they wanted to show their son off. So he sat there and the families all bowed their head down. And he began his prayer. And he thanked God for all of his friends, naming them one at a time. And then he thanked God for grandma and grandpa and mommy and daddy and his brothers and his sisters, all of his aunts and uncles. And then he broke down and began to thank God for the food that was on the table. He thanked for the turkey and the dressing, the fruit salad, the cranberry sauce, the pies, the cakes, even thanked God for the Cool Whip. Then he paused. He just stopped talking. He had his head hanging down. Everybody waited and waited. And after a long silence, he looked up at his mother and said, "If I thank God for the broccoli, will he know I'm lying?" It's interesting, this story, because every parent that I know of, every parent I've ever seen, I'm sure you've all done it as parents, whether you have big ones or little ones, you teach them at a young age to say please, say thank you, because you want that to instill them in their heart. I have a little video. If John, can you click that?
Let's hula girl. Let's see a hula dance, Annabelle. Let's see it.
Buddy will do it. Elsa will do it.
Yeah. Now, yes, those were my grandkids, so, you know, I took a little liberty. But it did underscore my point, is that when we had given them their Easter baskets, their parents had to prod them into saying thank you because they wanted to teach them. So I've read or been told the story of Jesus and the 10 lepers. I can't tell you how many times in my life, whether I've read it or heard it. Yet somehow the message of gratitude, or rather ingratitude, seems to escape me until I was doing my theological research on this, on gratitude. The story appears in Luke 17. And Jesus is traveling along the border of Samaria and Galilee when the lepers call out to him, "Hey, Jesus, Master, save us." And he just says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." The lepers go to the priest and are cleansed. That's what Luke tells us. But the story doesn't end there. Because one single guy, 1 out of 10 guys, he's not even Jewish, he's a Samaritan. He returns and throws himself at the feet of Jesus. of the 10 lepers, just one guy. And the most powerful takeaway for me is the idea that humans struggle mightily with gratitude. It's not about this guy who said thank you. To me, it's about those 9 guys who didn't bother. Jesus said, "We're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Luke does not tell us how the Samaritan replies. But Jesus tells him something before sending the man on his way. He says, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." There are several takeaways from the story. The idea that gratitude is part of being well is certainly present. This compares with the findings cited above. But the most powerful takeaway for me personally is that humans struggle with gratitude. This apparently includes not just children with Easter baskets, but people cured of infectious diseases as well as those who live amid unprecedented peace and prosperity, like so many of us do now. I'm going to use a couple of quotes from somebody I really like. Her name is Joyce Meyer. I don't know if you've ever heard of her. I'm just going to, it's like a page. Most people would agree that we have a lot to be thankful for. After all, many of us live in a lifestyle full of conveniences. We live in comfortable homes. We wear nice clothes. We have reliable transportation. We have no shortage of clean water or healthy food. We have access to quality health care and education, and basically living a good life with a lot of freedoms, safety, and security. And while it's easy to take these wonderful blessings for granted and begin to focus on what we don't have, millions of people around the world live without the basic necessities of life. Just think about this. When we complain about trivial things like cleaning the house, think about the people who would love to have a place to clean. Or have you ever complained about the cost of maintaining your car? And I bet you'd find a million people out there who wish they had a car. It's so easy to forget how blessed we are, and that's why maintaining an attitude of gratitude is so important. I'm very fortunate. Many of you know me. You know that I am an optimistic person. I just am. I always have been. I've always had an attitude of gratitude. My glass is always half full. My wife's is always half empty. Right, honey? But together we have a full cup. I can't explain my attitude of gratitude. I always find so many reasons to be grateful. I very much believe in but for the grace of God go I. I had a very bad car wreck, as many of you know, years ago. And I have had so many surgeries, it's not funny. But I don't feel bad about those. I feel grateful. Because I don't know how many of you remember when I used to walk with a cane. And I don't anymore. So I am grateful. I'll give you a little example of my gratitude. Last weekend, on a Saturday, I'm down working in my basement. And I got my shop back. Can you see me? And I'm working, just plugging the shop back because I got a little water spot. Well, I stuck my thumb in the water spot and I plugged in the shop back. And the next thing I know, all the lights went off. And I was grateful that my wife was there to pound me on the chest and go, "Are you okay?" And I woke up in my typical Carrie fashion and said, "I'm okay," because that's my stock answer for everything. And I was grateful that Tina was there, but I was grateful to God, you know, that I was okay. I want you to try something. As you go about your day, make a point to be grateful about things you wouldn't otherwise not even notice. I'm going to give you an example. This is a great example. I think about it all the time. You know how you hit your hand with a hammer? I don't want to know exactly what you say, but I'm similar to what I say. It's an explicative. You pick it. Right? Next time you find yourself saying, "Thank you, Jesus," or "Oh, thank God," stop. Stop. Instead of that, say, "Thank you, Jesus," or "Thank you, God." Don't make it like it's a reaction. Think about it. Think about the fact that you're actually thanking our God for that action and not making it an explicative. So I want you to try, as you go about your day, make a point to be grateful about the little things you might not otherwise notice. I'll give you an example. I know you guys have all seen me with this ugly chartreuse-looking cup. The reason I have that cup is it's the least likely cup I'll lose. Sometimes I take a moment in the morning and thank God for my coffee. Just say, "God, thanks for that coffee." Or how about the blessing of having hot water? Anybody who's ran the church bathroom is well familiar with, "God, I wish I had some hot water." Or how about the blessing, and as you begin to thank God for seemingly small things in your life, it will help you to focus on the positive about everything you have. And as a result, I promise you, you will be much happier. Invite God into everything you do. One of the best things we can go about through our day is to praise God while we work. No matter what we're trying to build, whether it's your home, your marriage, your business, financial security, or even an exercise plan, you can worship God as you work. I want to fix my thoughts on God, thank Him for what He's done in my life and for the words He's given me to speak. And I want to give Him praise for everything else He's going to do. We need to praise God because we love Him. It actually draws us closer to Him, which helps us hear the words more clearly. Receive it and hold on to it through faith. Giving thanks throughout the day is simply a way to show God how grateful we are. Regularly giving thanks to God not only helps us fully realize how He's working in our lives, but it gives us a new perspective. Our mind is renewed, our attitude is improved, and we're filled with joy. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." And by the way, I want you to notice there's not a lot of scripture in this sermon, because if you look after service into the middle of the bulletin, you will find so much scripture about gratitude, it'll keep you busy for a little while. I am truly amazed at how two people can have the exact same circumstances. However, one person can be negative, dissatisfied, and hopeless, while the other one is totally optimistic and full of joy. Praise makes the difference. Living life with a heart of gratitude for who God is and what He has done for us lifts our burdens and causes us to see everything in a different light. Each moment that we're given is a precious gift from God. We can choose to have a thankful attitude and live each moment full of joy simply because God is good. I'm going to give you 10 quick tips. We're almost done, promise. I'm going to give you 10 quick tips on how to be more grateful. Okay? These are real easy. Here's how you fit gratitude in your life. How about health, clean air, or even the recent switch to a cheaper cell phone bill? How about thanking yourself? How about if you use technology to send three gratitude messages this week? Just, "Hey, thanks for being my friend." Savor the good moments. You know that time when you're sitting out in the back and you're looking out and you're looking at the trees and the grass and the sky and you go, "God, this is so beautiful." And then you turn around and you go, "Yeah, but I got stuff to do." Don't do that. Enjoy it. Savor it. check for the silver linings behind everything. Typically, there is one. I'm trying to switch to where I want to be. Some of this I just wanted to. I think it's worth mentioning here toward the end the difference between praise and gratitude. Although praise can be a way of expressing gratitude, it is important to understand some of the differences between the two and how these differences might play out in our lives. Praise is commonly known as expressing warm approval or admiration. Gratitude, in the deep sense I use the term, is essentially the art of acknowledging what we receive from another and giving back, but not necessarily in reciprocation. In other words, you give to me, and I graciously accept it. And then I have gratitude. I don't feel the need to pay you back. I don't feel like we're keeping score. I am just grateful. And you'd be amazed, when you are grateful, you are actually giving another person the opportunity to express grace. So when somebody offers to help you, and you go, no, 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 I've got it. Did you ever think how it makes that person feel? That you turned them down? Maybe they were doing it for themselves. So in other words, inherent to gratitude is this giving and receiving dynamic. Praise can often be used to acknowledge the good points in another, but not necessarily what we receive in them. In this sense, it's a one-way interaction, solely dependent on the giver. So gratitude can be a great benefit in enhancing relationships. It might therefore be helpful to separate the two kinds of interactions. But in closing, I want you to know, by my nature, I am a half-full glass person. Probably because of all the calamities that have happened in my life that I survived. I am so grateful to God when I think of all the things that could have happened. But here's what I want to say to you. Here's the final thing I want to say to you. An attitude of gratitude means making it a conscious habit to express thankfulness and appreciation for every part of your life. Having an attitude of gratitude means you operate from a place of abundance rather than scarcity. When you develop an attitude of gratitude, you feel happier and you feel more positive. And when you're in line being healed by our Savior, don't be one of the nine. Be the one. Be the one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for giving me a heart of gratitude. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my views on gratitude with the congregation. And more than that, Lord, I pray that everybody in this building finds one opportunity today to look at something under your beautiful sky and find a reason to be grateful for it. And Lord, let us find gratitude in the friendships we have here, in the love we have in our families, in our full bellies, in the roofs over our heads. And we ask all of this in your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.